the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 158 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek. S-H-E-K. Let's start kibitzing about the world of sports in general with my main man to my immediate right from NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. Day today. Thursday is when we're taping this, and I'm still living in the glow of having something retweeted by Shawn Michaels of the WWE today, and nothing bad can happen to me now. It's one of those things.
You could have a deep and abiding, you could come to be known publicly as someone who's a grown man who focuses a lot of time and energy in as a spectator into WWE. That wouldn't be good.
That is good, actually.
Oh, it is. All right.
It's opened doors.
Yeah, I guess, perception equals reality. That's what they say. So good for you then, I guess.
Thank you.
And also, well, here's more good news for you. Like Rank says, it's Thursday night. Just finished up on NFL Network, the top 100 players of 2013. The latest 10 names just unveiled. Counting down 50 to 41. A couple surprises. Want to kibitz about that. Then, of course, the recap show with Lindsey Rhodes, Warren Sapp, Mike Silver, and one Dave Dameshek.
Yeah, I don't even know why you're sitting here.
Is that my main man?
It's Charles Woodson.
Chuck Woodson. That was my debut show.
What are you?
That was my debut appearance from Mr. Heisman Trophy asking, what are you doing here?
Yeah. You know? What are you? Seriously, what are you doing?
Well, listen, I think what's been made clear when you watch this top 100 list is that we fans have our opinions have more merit than the players who vote on it. It's hokey. And Charles Woodson can take his shots at me all he wants. The fact of the matter is, look at this. At number 50, Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman is the 50th best. I certainly thought he would be the top-rated cornerback. Now, I think you could make a case for Darrell Revis, but I don't know about anybody ahead of Richard Sherman coming off of what happened in 2012, right?
Well, no, and it's one of those things where it becomes a popularity contest. You can talk about when fans are given the chance to vote in, like, the MLB All-Star Game and things like that. And everybody complains, oh, the fans, it's a popularity contest. Obviously, the players are doing the same thing. Some players probably don't like Richard Sherman, don't like the way he conducts himself.
It's an interesting point.
He's going to come in at number 50 because the players are just as petty as the fans.
Or the media who didn't let, for instance, Ted Williams, the infamous thing that he didn't win the MVP the year he batted 400. By the way, before we continue with this conversation, let's say hello to our main man from all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. He's our resident Miami Dolphins fan here on the podcast. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. Good evening.
Welcome to the program.
It's exciting to be here.
We're breaking down this the latest names on the top 100. Let me just tell you, from 50, Richard Sherman, 49, Justin Houston.
Well, wait, who is Justin Houston?
Before we He's apparently a linebacker on the Chiefs.
Right.
Kansas City Chiefs.
What did he do that got him on this list?
And you know what? And we always talk about this, too, about how the Chiefs had so many Pro Bowlers last year. And I think this is the second surprise Chief to be on this list where maybe the players are believing this. How good were the Chiefs supposed to be?
That's the same thing I said last week about Tampa Bay. Why? How? In what universe can you have two Tampa Bay Buccaneers among the top, whatever it was, 56 names in the NFL when they were a complete bum team? Same thing goes for these Chiefs.
But it's fine. I mean, it's fine. I get Jamal Charles should be on the list. There's a couple of guys from every team who are going to make this list, and I don't think any of us should pretend that anything goes on other than they try and make sure there's a representative from all 32 teams. But Justin Houston, who is this guy?
Better than Richard Sherman.
Apparently.
Also better
than Ben Roethlisberger by a lot.
Also better than Luke Kuechly, who, by the way, is getting a lot of buzz from his own teammates so far, saying that he's the best linebacker in the league.
Right.
Well, so let me just I'll share the rest of the list with you in case you missed it. At 48, you had Dwayne Brown, the left tackle of the Houston Texans. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I don't, unless you're an interior lineman, Warren Sapp can weigh in on whether or not Dwayne Brown is great. The players themselves, unless they're interior linemen, do not know who good linemen are. So I find that hokey when these guys... Well, how do they know?
I think what they do is they have to attribute, like, Arian Foster's good. They have to attribute someone on the offensive line to the Texans. Who's the guy we've heard of? Dwayne Brown, bam, put him in there.
I think if you play in the defensive secondary, too, and you get lit up by one of these linemen, because I remember when I was playing in high school and I was playing safety, there is a guy who played for Norco who would always like
me. Oh, come on. You think Eric Decker knows who's a good offensive lineman and isn't? No, they don't. They have no idea. You think they do?
Eric Decker, somebody would have a little bit of insight on guys in his own team. But, yeah, but still, you know, that's the problem with all the players voting is they're not watching the games, you know.
That's right.
If some team does not play on Sunday night or Monday night or Thursday night on NFL Network, they're not watching these teams play because they're too busy getting prepared for their own game. So a lot of that, you know, it's going to be word of mouth. It's going to be a popularity contest. It's going to be like, oh, I heard this guy was good. And the reputation builds, and you vote for him.
By the way, Alfred Morris of the Redskins, who was number 64 on the list, is coming up in just a minute. I want to get his thoughts on being behind Doug Martin, because over the course of the season, I think Alfred Morris had the superior year. So we'll get his thoughts on that and also how RG3 and the rest of the gang is shaping up there in D.C. Meantime, Cam Newton at 46. So he's 15 spots better than Ben Roethlisberger, the guy who has two rings on his fingers. Cam Newton, who's had two. That's fine. I mean, he belongs on this list.
It's going into 2013, I'm assuming.
All right. So, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger versus Cam Newton?
Right now?
Right now.
You would rather have Ben Roethlisberger this season. You'd rather have Ben Roethlisberger.
It depends. Do I want to have a statistically productive season, or do I want to take a run at the playoffs? Do I want to take a run at the Super Bowl? I mean, Cam Newton is better. If you put Cam Newton on the Steelers and Roethlisberger on the Panthers, you think that you think Pittsburgh would be like, yeah, hey, we just improved our shot at the Super Bowl this year. Handsome, yes. Hank, do you think that?
I'm not sure that would be the case. And the bad news for Cam is heading into his third season, he's on the slide. He's six spots lower than he was last year.
Poor dear.
Can expect to find him in the 70s next
Plus
week.
Plus, that kid in the commercials, we're going to replace him, so it's all sad. Shady McCoy at 45.
I would take that kid over Roethlisberger.
Well, see, now I'm starting to think you might be biased. Right. Wes Welker, Eric Decker's teammate, Eli Manning at 43. Why would Eli Manning be 43 and Roethlisberger 61? Neither team made the playoffs. That seems like a weird thing. Is the assessment then among the players that Eli Manning is the guy who's more capable of winning big games? That seems like
one. I don't understand your argument. So you're saying
Eli Manning is 43.
No, I get it. But you're saying any quarterback that didn't make the playoffs is equal.
Well, I because if we're going to then involve, because the tiebreaker then becomes body of work, right? Doesn't
right.
it?
So is that Eli's won two Super Bowl MVP awards.
Well, fine. So he's like, here are a couple names that we know are ahead of both those guys,
right.
Both Eli and Big Ben, Andrew Luck and RG3.
Playoff team, mm-hmm.
Two playoff teams.
So it fits right with your argument.
They've played roughly 16 games apiece in their lives.
This is the most. It's so hard to try to seal up his continuity goofs. But we're giving it a go.
What's the continuity goof?
Please.
They played 1 year. There's not a yardstick. You can't compare 1 year to 9 seasons of successful
QBing. If you took the Indianapolis Colts and you put in Eli Manning over Andy Luck right now, do you think the Colts would say, you know what, we're better off. We're closer to the Super Bowl now than we were last year?
That's a good question. That's an interesting way of looking at it.
Same thing with the Redskins.
I think that maybe not with Andrew Luck, but with RG3, yeah. I think the Redskins
would be better off with Eli Manning as their quarterback over RG3.
It's interesting. Yeah, maybe. I think I could make a pretty compelling case.
Ranking.
So what do we know about RG3? What was the talk all last year in spite of the huge breakout and the rookie of the year and everything else? Is, boy, he's brittle. He can't play this way for very long, or he's going to have a short shelf life in pro football. Well, that's still valid, isn't it?
He missed one game during the regular season.
I understand.
And then, he
collapsed on the field in a playoff game.
If they have a competent groundskeeper whatever field
what
is named, that field was terrible. Like,
all
you
right.
don't think that the field played some impact on him going down like that?
I don't know, and I don't know if that reaches conspiracy level theorizing. But
it's not a conspiracy, but it's something that
I think you make it. But your larger question is: would the Colts prefer for one season, not for five seasons? Obviously, you'd rather have one of the youngsters.
Even for one season.
For one season, for 2013, who's better positioned to make you a winner? Yeah, I would take Big Ben or Eli over RG3.
Good luck to you.
When it comes to the Colts, though, and Andrew Luck, I'm not sure
about
that
one. You were
right
the first time.
Haloti Ngata is dynamite, and you saw that in the Super Bowl. When he went out, he's at number 42. I think even though he fell 33 spots here, I think, he's dynamite, and you could tell that in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. As soon as he went out,
right.
The Niners were unstoppable on the ground. They just gashed him. You removed Ngata from that. He's the linchpin. I've said that for many moons now. Forget Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. Ngata is the irreplaceable
Haloti
piece.
Haloti Ngata as well is the one who hurt RG3, by the way.
Oh, yeah, but that was fluky.
It just sort of banged into his leg. If it wasn't such a huge behemoth of a man.
And then here's your biggest surprise. Wait. Jason Witten at 41. I didn't think he was going to make the list at all because...
Well, that's the big thing that we've been talking about recently is the tight ends, is who's the elite tight end who's not going to make the list.
Right. And we know here's Gonzalez Tony. Does, it's, and we know
I
mean, Witten does.
And I think they were
and we know
two
Gronk.
Guesses.
We know Gronk's going to make it, right? And we know that we've seen Aaron Hernandez. We've seen Heath Miller.
Dennis
and
Pitter,
so,
obviously.
Yeah. And so we know Jimmy Graham is and Gates made it. So we know Jimmy Graham's going to be there. That means Vernon Davis, my main man, is not going to be on there. I cannot fathom the lack of respect that the league has for this guy.
Wait, Vernon Davis hasn't been on this list? So he is going to be the guy?
Yeah. Wow. I think we can do the math on that. So Gronk is making it, and Jimmy Graham's not going to go from 15 to off the list.
No.
So Vernon
Jimmy
Davis
Graham
probably makes it. That's loco. That is loco. Again, do the NFL players watch football, especially in January when their seasons ended? Did they just stop watching or something? How else could you justify Vernon Davis not being ranked in the top 100 players when two playoffs ago he was the best player in the playoffs, and then last year he had another gangbusters run through January on his way to the Super Bowl? Here's another question. That's crazy. It's crazy.
It is nuts.
All right. Listen, here's another thing before Black Tie there calls up Alfred Morris. Real quick, a thought I have because this is the time of the year for a sports fan who looks beyond the NFL is the NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs are going on. On one side, you have the feast for NHL fans, a great Final Four. I imagine Commissioner Bettman is over the moon. He has the Pittsburgh Penguins, probably the high-flying Penguins, biggest star in the game in Sidney Crosby, against the Boston Bruins, one of the original six, Stanley Cup champs 2 years ago. On the other side, you have the last
four Stanley Cup champions.
Right, it's fascinating. And then on the LA Kings, you have the defending champs there. And obviously big market going up against another one of the original six, the other high-flying bunch, the best team of the regular season, the Chicago Blackhawks. Juicy stuff there. On the other hand, you may in the NBA, depending on how things break, you could get the worst possible finals. Indianapolis versus San Antonio, 11 people will watch this if you erase LeBron James from the equation here. No one's going to watch those finals. So that begs the question, and I start with you, Handsome Hank. What is... As we sit here in summertime, what would be the juiciest Super Bowl and or if you want to spread it out to Final Four, the two title games that would be most compelling right now? And then spare me the stuff about the Giants because they're a big market.
No, I get it. I mean, I'm going to make one assumption, which is that the Super Bowl next year, which it is going to be played in New York.
So
I can make that assumption.
Sure.
So I think it's the AFC Championship game is the game that we kind of all expected it probably would be last year and it didn't turn out. Brady versus Manning. Mm-hmm. I think that's a game that everyone wants to see one more time in the conference.
I guess at the tail end of their respective careers, that would be one last.
It's probably the last time they'll meet in a playoff game. And those are obviously two huge teams as well. And then the NFC, I like the idea, again, because the Super Bowl's in New York, and I'm not just saying it because it's a big market team. I think the Giants, which obviously potentially sets up the Manning Brothers Super Bowl, which after last year, the Harbaugh brothers, imagine how the world would go if the Manning brothers played in the Super Bowl. So you have the Giants. I'm going to say the 49ers back again in the NFC Championship.
That's an interesting one.
And then Super Bowl, one way or another, I think you've got a great Super Bowl, no matter really how those games play out.
I want this. Drop me a line or hashtag DDFP with your thoughts on this, listener. I want to put this together, but I want to get as rangy a group of opinions as we can possibly get. Here's one for you. Let me just go old school for you. I like rivalries. I talk all the time about the need for rivalries in pro football and to play those up as much as possible. What if you could go Niners-Cowboys, because that was a good rivalry back in the day, or Cowboys and Redskins would be pretty cool, too, on one side, if the Cowboys would win. And then on the other side, you have Pittsburgh play the defending champion Ravens for the AFC crown. And then you go Pittsburgh-Dallas in the most classic of all Super Bowl matchups.
Not bad.
Fair? Or not is bad. It more interesting? Do people at large care? It's very important in cities like San Francisco and Pittsburgh and Dallas who has the most Super Bowl rings. Do people in general care about that? A lot of conversation about six rings and all that kind of stuff in Pittsburgh. Does anybody care about that race for that? Because that would be interesting if you go Dallas-San Francisco playing the Steelers and then who becomes Lord of the Rings of time.
That's a headline.
I think the people in Green Bay are bemused by the whole notion of that being a topic, considering they have the most world championships of any NFL franchise.
Yeah, they should have won those Super Bowls then when there were a legitimate number of teams to play against. They were in the NFL when there weren't that many teams. That's true. That's not made up on my part.
They won a bunch in the 60s. Even if you went from the 60s, they have more titles than everybody.
Well, but I'm not. I go in the Super Bowl era because I'm not 104 years old.
You act like it sometimes.
I've drawn that line in the sand.
You get so upset when people downstairs don't know who Rocky Blyer is. It's that these kids.
That's an outrage. They don't know who Rocky Blyer is. What do you mean?
A 20-year-old kid who doesn't know who some obscure running back for the Steelers of the 70s is. You are so ignorant of guys.
The difference is that's absolutely untrue. The difference is that I know who Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor and all those guys are. I know who they are. I just don't think that level of football rises to the Super Bowl level.
Paul Hornung,
I don't know who they are.
We're talking football, and that's upsetting Black Tie. So, too much football talk on this episode.
How dare you, ignorant me? I know all about them. I just don't think that level of football is in the same universe with what we've watched over the last 40 years or thereabouts.
You are ignorant in that you are comparing.
I disagree, obviously.
Can I finish my statement, please?
Please.
In that you are comparing Paul Hornung to Rocky Blyer. Completely. The point is,
I know who they are.
No. Who is the fullback of those?
Let me just say this to you. Let me just go back and make this point. I have said if 1958, just provide my point of view and where it comes from, the old school guys will tell you that the 1958 NFL championship was the greatest game in the history of pro football. Why? Because of the quality of the game? Yeah, it was a good game. But it made the NFL relevant. Prior to that, nobody watched it. It was not a big-time sport. It was a fringy sport. After that game, then it became important. That's fine. If you want to bring up the 60s Packers, so be it. But everything that happened prior to that is, I mean, the stuff when Browns fans point to their titles with Otto Graham, who cares? They're neither here nor there at this point.
Fair enough.
The sport was a fringe sport.
That's fine. Then Green Bay is still the leader in the clubhouse because they have more titles since 1958 on. So,
what is their total then?
They have about
six.
Eight.
I don't think that's true. I think they won four in a row.
You know,
I think they won four NFL titles, including their two Super Bowls. Plus, they've won.
Okay. Well,
then they won twice. I think you're giving them double credit for their first two Super Bowls because though the NFL titles they won in those first two Super Bowls were more significant than beating the insignificant AFL teams at the
61, 62. Guys, we have Alfred Morris on the line.
All right, we got him. All right, we got him now. I don't think Alfred Morris cares about this. Let's jump into it with him. Here he is, everybody. He had the breakout rookie season there, over 1,600 yards, taking handoffs from another rookie phenom named Robert Griffin III. It's running back supreme of the Washington Redskins, Alfred Morris. What's the poop, fella?
Nothing much. Every day trying to get better, so just taking one day at a time.
That sounds good. That's a trying to get better. How is Alfred Morris trying to get better?
I mean, if he can come off a good season as he did last year, I mean, you set the bar pretty high. You have to get better. So just, I think a lot of times the little things are overlooked. So I'm more focusing now on just the little things, fine-tuning my game with my track, with my just being more patient in some of the run games. You know, I look at film last year, and some of it, I just kind of shake my head, like, man, you know, I got so many more yards on this play or that play. And it's the little things that hinder me from doing so. So I've just been working on that, and just even more so working on my explosiveness. I did, obviously, I did a lot of like band work, you know, having different stuff strapped to me, just a lot of resistance work, you know, just to help my game. And it's definitely helped me out there in OTAs and just running. I feel better running. I mean, I look better, you know, the coaches tell me. So, I mean, it's all going good.
Yeah, those coaches, yeah, they might be saying that to you, but they also, when the draft was going on, they were saying names of other running backs when the Washington Redskins were making selections. How say you on that one? Did you say to Coach Shanahan after the fact, hey, I didn't do enough for you in 2012, you have to go and draft two more running backs?
No, that's a good thing when you bring more guys in. Like, I think some people thought I was crazy. I was like, they're going to draft more. I thought they were going to draft at least one more, but I didn't know they were going to draft two. But, I mean, regardless, competition only makes you better. So when they can bring more guys in, it just pushes that much harder. Like, and if I lose a job, hey, I lost it. But it's only going to make all of us better. So I'm glad they brought more competition in the room. That's just going to help all of us out.
Well, speaking of competition, in the backfield there, it's an interesting debate who the better runner is, and that's what's so scary to all the defenses last year, watching the Redskins' offense really in the second half of the season in particular, the way you and RG3 took off. How is RG3? We hear all sorts of noise about this, that, and the other about how the knee's going. From what you can see, it's going to happen. Week one, it's going to be you and RG3 lining up back there?
I think so. I honestly think so, but that's not my call. I think it's going to be his call, to be honest with you, because I feel like he will be ready, but it's going to be one of those things that if he feels like he has any doubt that he's not going to be 100%, then he might not do it. But, I mean, I feel like it's going to be his call, but will he physically be ready? I think so. I think it's more so mentally. A lot of people don't realize that the game we play is about 90% mental. You know, the physical part is the easy part. The mental part is what really makes it challenging.
I don't like that because I feel like that's an attack on me to say the physical part is easy because I don't have the physical tools to make it in the NFL, and now I feel like you're rubbing my nose in it. I don't mind saying that to you.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, just anything. Right. I mean, people work out. We all have different levels and stuff like that. But that's nothing against you. I'm just saying, like, anybody can go out there, you know, run into each other and do that stuff. But it's like, you know, the mechanics of the game is, you know, just knowing what you're doing, knowing your assignments. There's just so much that is thrown at you. Everyone's smart on this level. Everyone's fast. There's no advantage to others. So the physical part is easy, but you just have to outsmart your opponent. So that type of thing. It's a good thing. I'd much rather have brains than brawn any day.
Well, I should say for the record, I would have been, I assume, a pretty good NFL football player if my mom would have let me play football. But that's water under the bridge.
Yeah, you got the mental game, Dave, so I think that you could have handled it. But you're talking about RG3. He's got a wedding coming up now. One of the fans have sent in, you know, a couple of gifts. First of all, have you been invited to the wedding?
Yes, I have been invited.
So let me ask you now. I have friends who make more money than me, and it's always kind of a disconcerting type of situation where you have to purchase a wedding gift for them. I do okay for myself, but I'm not, you know, making, you know, RG3 money. What do you get for that guy? What is on his wedding registry?
I really don't know. I haven't seen his wedding registry, to be honest with you, but I wouldn't even look at it because, especially when I heard all the fans were, you know, going on and buying stuff and sending it to him, which I thought was hilarious. Also kind of a good idea. But, I mean, I do want to get him something, but I think it'll be something that's not even on that registry, something. I don't know. I'm still, like, brainstorming on what I could get, you know, just trying to see the type of person is, like, what is he really like, you know, something I know he can use every day, not like some slippers or a robe or something like that. I'm like, he probably won't even use that, you know. I know he'll get a use out of it, but that's something that's not on their wedding registry. So I'll probably take a look at that and see what the options and stuff I can cross off that I won't be getting now.
Well, he likes comic books. I say you go in and find, he likes the Incredible Hulk. I say you find some sort of collectible, and then you would really, you know what, you would probably rise a little bit in his eyes.
That's a good idea. I'm going to take that, take a note of that. I know you like comics, but I mean, I'm pretty sure he's probably got everything he would want from it, but I mean, maybe if I can find something that's kind of rare for him, in the comic book collection. I'm pretty sure he will love it.
Well, if he gives you a plus one, maybe you should find the creator of Marvel Comics, Stan Lee, and then the two of you could go together.
Maybe so. I keep that in mind.
Now, what about, I was about to switch over because Green, the Incredible Hulk, made me think about the Eagles, and I want to talk about the NFC East at large and how what your thoughts are going into this season. But before we do that, let's talk about the Redskins. This is a dawn, really, of a new era for you guys, but people are buzzing about the name Redskins. What's Alfred Morris's thoughts on the team name Redskins? Is it offensive? Should they change it? How say you?
I mean, one would say that it's offensive, but, I mean, that's each his opinion, you know, to each his own. I know he's actually done, like, polls and studies, you know, whether it was, different ones around the country, but they also did some on only Native Americans, and I think over, like, 90% of them said it wasn't offensive to them. They didn't mind. We actually got a history lesson on the Redskins that the first coach ever was actually a Native American, so I found that very cool. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't go that far back. So, I mean, it's such a story franchise. His name has been around for, you know, ever. So, I mean, who's to say that they ever changed his name, even if they're taking a lot of heat from it. But, I mean, that's not my department. I mean, I'm just kind of staying tuned as just like anybody else. You know, I really don't know what's going on. That's not our department. So it'd be interesting to see how this stuff unfolds.
Well, what do you think about with Redskins, at least the good move that you've made is, or the team has made, is going back to the gold pants. What do you like better? What's the best color combo with the Redskins? Sometimes you go with the burgundy jerseys, white pants. Sometimes gold pants. Sometimes you go white jerseys, gold pants. Sometimes white jerseys, burgundy pants. Of those options, which is the best, Alfred Morris?
I like the burgundy jerseys and gold pants, to be honest.
That's correct.
That's my favorite.
Good for you.
I don't know. I just wear something with it. I'm like, yeah. So, I mean, like, it's regardless of what we got on. We still got to go out there and show up and play. I actually also like the throwback jersey they put on us that one time, which we probably won't wear again because we kind of stunk it up against the Panthers. But I found, you know, those uniforms interesting as well.
Those were nice, come to think of it. Yeah, those were nice-looking jerseys. Yeah, good for you. All right, talk about real quick. I don't know what you're going to say, but let's try to get some insight from Alfred Morris. Let's get some heat going because you're just – this is a sophomore season. I know Florida Atlantic wasn't a hotbed of you know, college football rivalry, but you were close to it in the state of Florida. All those good SEC rivalries, that's what the NFL needs. Talk some stuff on your rivals in the East, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants. Which one of them do you like the least?
Of course it's going to be Cowboys. I mean, like, even what I'm saying is if we don't win any game, we have to, you know, beat the Cowboys. So that's always going to be your least favorite is the Cowboys. But I just feel like we have a tough division all around. And anybody can win the division. Any year, any given year, anybody can win this division. There's such talent and so many, you know, just great players, great coaches that – it's always a clash. And this year it came down to the wire, even last game of the season, you know, for the championship, and I thought that was pretty interesting that the last game just happened to be the game to take the crown. So, and I'm just glad it's back, you know, with us and here in Virginia. So,
yeah, well, it's
about that.
Absolutely, the NFL is better when the Redskins and Cowboys are both good, and in fact, the NFC East is compelling stuff pretty much every year. But best when those rivalries are going. Now, we heard about Mike Vick racing Shady McCoy. Let's first of all talk about how does Alfred Morris do in a foot race against Shady McCoy? Who wins that one?
I would give it to him. I'm gonna be honest, but. Other than that, I mean, I wouldn't too much give him anything if we was competing against anything. But speed, I mean, that's what he is. He's a speedster, man. He just flies around the field very quick and very elusive, you know. So sometimes when you watch me watch film, I'm like, man, like, this guy's good, you know. Like some of the stuff he's able to do. But foot race, he definitely got me. But, I mean, when him and Michael Vick, they ran, I knew Michael Vick could get him. So, I mean, I've been watching Michael Vick since he was at the Falcons when he first came in. Like, he's just blazing fast. So, I mean, there's no surprise that he actually beat McCoy.
What if you go, though, what if you put all the QBs from the East on the line? You go Vic, RG3, Romo, Eli. 1, 2, 3, 4. How do they finish? I think we know who finishes fourth. That's not a hard question there.
Oh, Eli's definitely fourth. Yes. You know, do Romo, then Vic. Oh, well, that'd be a great race between Vic and Robert, man. That would be interesting, but I would give Robert a cake, but not by much. It would be by hair.
And do you think Kaepernick would beat, who would win if we did all the QBs now? Let's open all man, 32. Nah. I think Matt Schaub comes in last. I think we can all agree on that. No, Brandon Whedon comes in last. He's got to be. There's no way. No, wait. Peyton Manning comes last. How could anyone?
Yeah, there you go.
Boy, there'd be a lot of guys bringing up the rear there, trying to not finish last and be humiliated. But what if you throw Kaepernick in there? Who do you think's the fastest QB there?
I still think it'd be out of Robert and Vic. I mean, nothing against Kaepernick. I mean, he's fast, pretty fast guy himself, but I just think he's not in Robert's and Michael Vick league, to be honest with you.
I think they're all fast. We get that. But who wins the arm wrestling contest?
I probably would give it to Kaepernick. He's like, he loves his upper body. He, you know, gets the buys and tries, get the beach body going. He's like one of those pretty boys.
Alfred Morris, what do you think about, because to me, when I look at you, the number 46 maybe gets in my head, but your body type, the way you run and everything, who in NFL history have you seen, you know, the old NFL films footage of and say, yeah, that looks like me?
Because
you're old school to me. Because that's what I'm the point. And you know, everybody's CJ2K and all that kind of stuff now. You know, the fast scat back. I'm talking, you're old school.
Definitely.
Let me throw some names at you. Franco Harris, how say you?
Not Franco. If I had to pick one, it's probably Walter Payton, sweetness. Man, you can't beat that. Just the way he ran as if every play was his last, and he gave it his all each and every play, and that's pretty much what I go out to do. I play with hard. I leave it all on the field, but any play could be my last play. I never know, so I don't have any regrets. So I go out there, and I leave it all out there each and every game, each and every snap, you know, that I'm able to be in there. So I would definitely, you know, tell mine to Walter Payton. He definitely shy away from contact. Man, you know, he had the speed of running away from guys, but, man, he would take it to him. Like, it's one thing I call it the man in my respect, the type of way I run. I mean, I'm not the type of guy, I'm not a flesh magnet, but I will lower my shoulder on guys. And in a sense, I demand my respect. And then it makes it that much easier to just, you know, avoid them or elude them and get around them, because now they're thinking twice, like, oh, is he going to run me? Is he going to run me over? Oh, I'm around him now. So it's I've been doing this for a while now, and I just like it this way. So, and it definitely helps, you know, not beat up my body as much, surprisingly, by delivering the blow. I don't let people hit me majority of the time. Every now and then I do take hits, but, I mean, nothing too big. But I normally deliver the blow, and, you know, so it really takes a lot of stress off of my body, and I feel, you know, it helps me with my durability as well, you know, just not taking shots, but giving shots.
All right, one last question for you. But by the way, so wait, if I got you right, this rookie just compared himself to Walter Payton rank. Someone likes himself an awful lot. No, I kid you. I kid you, Alfred Morris. You have to believe in yourself. Now, listen, last thing for you. This top 100 list, there were three rookie runners on there. What do you make of Doug Martin being that much higher above you? Look, you ran for 1,600 yards on a playoff team. Doug Martin had a good game or two. How say you?
I mean, that was player voters. I mean, that was their opinion. They felt, you know, as if in a sense to me, he's more of a wild guy. I mean, like the one game against Oakland, I was like, wow, like, man, he really went off on them. But I mean, that's like making big play, that stuff is more memorable. But I'm the type of person, I might nickel dime. Every now and then I might get out, but most of the time I'm nickel dime. I fight hard, I earn my yards. You know, that's two different players. So a lot of people, they remember those big long runs, you know, the big home runs. And to be honest, I didn't have many of those this year. You know, next year, you know, I'm going to work on that, and maybe I can get some home runs. But, like, stuff like that is more memorable than somebody who's nickel and dime. Oh, we got a big run, nickel dime. So when you have that type of it makes it more memorable. So that's who I peer as voters and hired. Hey, so be it. But I mean, it's still just an honor to be on that list. You know, there's so many great players. I know it's kind of like the, you know, the cliche answer, but it's just the truth. I'm just honored. Even if I was 100, I still would have been, you know, happy with that. I'm like, oh man, you know, like my peer, you know, the guys that I'm with in the NFL, they decided to put me on the list of the top 100. There's a lot of players in the NFL, but I was on the top 100. So, you know, that
that's an honor in itself. So, I mean, that's a win for me.
Yeah, yeah, you do say the right things, and you will ascend higher, I expect, in your sophomore season coming up here. I just want to say apologies on behalf of the entire NFL Network, everyone here in the Nerve City in Culver City, in the Nerve Center in Culver City, because I feel as though when you were on the Top 100 Recap Show with Chris Johnson, he got way more questions than you got. And like I say, I apologize for that.
Oh, no, no problem.
I just feel like...
You're more entertaining than I was, I guess.
Well, I just feel like everybody must not have realized that they were talking to the next Walter Payton. So...
I wouldn't say that. I got a long ways to go. I've just seen his running style. That's what I was comparing. But, man, he's great. By far my favorite running back, you know, out of all of them. A lot of great backs, but he's definitely my number one.
Go ahead.
CBD runs over too many guys. That's why they don't vote him so high. He's hurting himself by that. If you run out of bounds a little bit more, they'll vote for you.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
That's not my style, man.
Good point, Rank. Good point. All right, listen. Alfred Morris, you are one of the good guys in the league. In just 1 year, you've made that very clear. Come on out to Studio 66 this summer before things start getting all hot and heavy there out in D.C., won't you?
Oh, I try my best to. I know he's been trying to coordinate it. Stuff keeps coming up. So one of these days I'm going to get out there sooner or later. So, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
All right, 46. We look forward to that in the meantime. Thanks so much for the time, fella.
All right, not a problem. Thank you.
That's Dave Damashek.
I'm telling you, I like this fella. Black tie. Make sure he gets out here. I don't know what you have to do, what strings you have to pull, but make sure he gets out to Studio 66.
He's a cool guy.
He keeps saying things keep coming up. Well, listen, you make sure that nothing gets in his way of getting on an airplane and heading out here to the West Coast, all right?
All righty.
All right, number 46. What do you think there, Black Tie? Who wins that foot race? NFL QBs.
Like Alfred Morris said, RG3 and Vic in a league of their own, and I would have to agree. Those guys are legitimately fast, like, forget football. They're just speedy guys. Like the other fast guys, the Caps, Kaepernicks, Cam Newtons, Russell Wilsons. Those guys are fast, but they're not. They don't have that lightning quick speed.
I don't know about that. Kaepernick has that.
Kaepernick is good, but he's got longer strides.
But he's 6'5", 6'6",
exactly.
And right. He glides, which might be deceptive. He might look like he's not moving as fast as he is.
RG3's run against the Vikings last year, the game-winning run in the fourth quarter, blazing speed, Michael Vick.
There are things with Kaepernick, though. The thing with Kaepernick, that it reminds me a little bit of Vince Young in when you were watching him for the first times playing in those Rose Bowls way back when. When he would, again, that gliding sort of style is deceptive, and all of a sudden he's past every defender on the field. You're like, oh, he's getting a touchdown now. He's run past every possible tackler out there. That would be great, but the better thing would be the last 10. The last 10 QBs. I think now at this point in his career, Roethlisberger would be in that race. He'd be bringing up. He'd be in that final 10.
But after
Peyton Manning, Brandon Whedon.
But before they had that race, he'd be like, you know, I'm hurt. Everybody, I've got a bad ankle.
Really, really quick though. Even though he's not as fast, I think Cam Newton is the best running quarterback in the league just because he has that size, too, that I'm not scared if he's going to get hurt. I don't think he's going to get hurt.
You know, we started out with the top 100 list, and we're talking about Cam Newton and where he belongs here among all the QBs. Forget his ranking among the rest of the players. But when it comes to QBs, I'm a little surprised to see him ahead of, you know, Roethlisberger. I think you could
– Russell Wilson.
Ahead of Russell Wilson is a really interesting one. All that said, I expect of all these newfangled type of QBs, I think Cam Newton ends up being the best of them. I think he's going to be better than RG3 is. Kaepernick. This is a big year for Kaepernick to see if he can replicate what he did. Because, again,
so as
the
a Steelers
sample
fan, would you want Cam Newton over Ben Roethlisberger?
No, I would not for one
can
year.
Can you stop bringing up Big Ben? Come
for
on.
For 5 years.
Sheesh.
For the next 5 years.
He's so upset about NFL talk.
So much
talk.
Big Ben. Let's go. We're talking about the
you
younger quarterbacks.
Do you not think that Dave's loyal fan base likes
I understand
to talk about
I know
Big
I'd
ben.
Rather
I
have Ben Roethlisberger
it.
Than Dieter Brock. All right, there we go. I got it in. The
by
Dieter
the way,
Brock drop.
See, that's a perfect. See,
that
that's
is
a
not,
better example.
That was a terrible setup.
Yes, you didn't write it out and have it on your hand.
By the
that
way,
that one counts. That Dieter Brock drop.
By the
counts
way,
for
apparently my last one did not count.
Really?
So I propose Karen did not count it. I propose that we have a
Karen on Twitter who follows us and tracks the Dieter Brock drop count for all of us. She rejected.
She rejected it, and I said, you know what? There needs to be a committee that decides.
No,
one man cannot have so much power.
One woman, and she can.
No,
and
like
she
it.
Does.
Cannot have so much power.
She does. Right. Wait, you look at the guy sitting behind the glass talking about having too much power.
Back to
exactly.
this.
No, back
yeah,
to,
exactly.
Wait, real
shutting
quick,
us down.
I'm sure now by now we've both been inundated on Twitter of the count of who has the most titles since 1958. Steelers, 7. Packers, 7. So there you go. So they're knotted up.
Wait a second. The Steelers don't have 7. Steelers
have
6.
Excuse me. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, excuse me.
So the Packers would lay. But I'm, listen, again.
Wait, what's Stairway to, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, the Steelers need to get to 7.
Send me another tweet saying, no, it's 6, not 7. Okay, I'm messing this up.
All right, but what the tweets I do want, because next week then we'll put together the proper, because I'm sure I'm forgetting some. Black Tie, you have any you want to throw out here?
Any questions?
No, any ideas for the Super Bowl matchups or Final
Super Bowl
Four
matchups? I got to have it's not a great team, but just going back to the young quarterbacks, I got to have one of those guys in there. And the one guy I'm going with, because I believe he's now is like the most popular player in the league. He's like the Sidney Crosby. Could be the LeBron James of the NFL. That's RG3. Like all this talk about him, his popularity, he has a lot of lovers, doesn't have a whole lot of haters. It's very rare to be big and not have a whole lot of haters.
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy, that's for sure.
So I gotta think that if the NFL has him in a conference championship game, that's huge.
Well, listen, you could go either if you had a divisional round game, if you really map out the entire thing, you go Seattle and San Francisco, one of those teams goes on to play RG3.
I like that for the title game.
Yeah, that'd be, what if you had, well, yeah, Seattle, San Francisco, yeah, it'd be wonderful. But to Black Tie's point, if you get RG3 and you could get on the other side Andrew Luck, that would be a pretty nifty thing. You know, you talk about Brady and Manning playing each other. How cool would it be to see the 1 and 2 QBs from that draft class go head-to-head for that matter? I would also throw out, again, I'm sorry to say it, Black Tie, because apparently you resent hearing his name mentioned, but Roethlisberger versus Eli to once and for all decide who the best QB of that draft class is.
That's
would be
not
fun.
Bad. I wouldn't like – I don't want the Giants or the Jets, and I don't think we'll have to worry about the Jets being in the Super Bowl in
right.
the home stadium. I'd like to avoid that. But what about I like the idea of the Steelers because the Steelers, it means ratings and everything. How about them against the Browns as an AFC title game? Because people would be pulling for the Browns as an underdog story.
Well, those rivalry games, yeah, that would be awesome.
Or Browns-Ravens, you know, if you want to go back to the team that bolted from Cleveland and Cleveland having the chance to beat them to get to their first Super Bowl. I think that would be pretty cool.
What about Peyton Eli? People, I mean, obviously that's the better Super Bowl venue, though, would have been last year in New Orleans, in the
hometown.
City that Archie rules.
Right.
That would have been the ideal Super Bowl. But what about if you got
Tell you what, though. The NFL is the one league that has so many options for this. Like, a lot of leagues, they only have, like, 4, 5, 6 teams, maybe. It's almost harder to pick teams that would not work for the NFL, like, would not be intriguing, than it is to pick the 4 teams that will be intriguing.
Yeah, like Jacksonville, Arizona, is about the worst one you can concoct.
No,
yeah.
That would be good.
It would?
I think people would like that.
They would?
Why
who would be excited about Jacksonville in the Super Bowl?
Who would
Bowl?
Not be excited about the Super Bowl? It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean,
they're
all right, but we're trying to, right, to Black Tie's
no,
point, we're trying
worst.
To figure out the ugliest.
Jacksonville for sure is,
no,
not, is a no-go.
Leave Jacksonville alone. They've got good fans. Stop it.
No.
Well, how about if Jacksonville played Carolina, the two teams that came into the league in 94, was it, or 95? That would be an ugly uniform match. I'm thinking of uniform matchups that would be hideous.
But they have Cam Newton being in the Super Bowl. That would be pretty fun.
I
think if the worst Super Bowl would be the St. Louis Football Club against the Raiders. It's bad. The Raiders in the Super Bowl is bad. And then St. Louis has the worst fan base of anybody.
If you throw in the Bills over the
what?
Raiders.
No. Shame
on
you. I've said this many times before. If you have no rooting interest, the Bills should be on your short list of teams to start
Speaking
rooting
of which,
for.
Yeah, how is the fan free? Well, no. Here's what I'm going to do. And
Rank, if you haven't listened before, is in the market. He has announced himself to be a unrestricted fan free agent. He, between now and kickoff, is going to decide to embrace one NFL team. Calais Campbell of the Cardinals is courting him. Rams fans would like him to come back to the fold. I don't think that's going to happen. Chargers want him. He has some ties to the Cardinals. We'll see. What's the latest, Rank?
We are holding strong. You and I have been working a lot on the NFL fantasy draft kit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's taken a lot of our time. We haven't been able to really dive into this situation. What I want to do, I know Tumblr's big with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set up, and I know somebody had already set up a Tumblr page trying to get me over to the Browns.
Oh, I thought you were going to solicit money. I thought you were doing one of those things that movie guys are doing.
No.
Kickstarter.
Zach Braff.
Send me money. Whatever fan, whatever team gives the most money gets my services.
That's what I'm going to do.
You should do that.
Zach Braff and I will be very popular for that. But the Tumblr is something I think that everybody can contribute to and upload photos and do things like that. So
I'm going to try to get
that started, and then hopefully we can really – I wish when Handsome Hank was here, we could have talked about kicking it off even more. But more
all right, we're just
right
at
now.
The dawn of summertime. There's plenty of time, but not that much time. That's the point. You only have really, I say, maybe hold off on making the big announcement until September.
Oh yeah,
but you're going to have to know come training camp when they go off to camp. You know, I don't want you making any willy nilly decisions that are based on who got hurt in training camp.
Maybe we'll seal it up.
I like that.
We'll seal it up at the Hall of Fame game.
But maybe you should be going to, maybe training camp should be spent with you visiting these possible teams, you know,
sort of recruiting trips.
All right, anyway, we have a lot to figure out. Hey, hashtag DDFP, let me know your ultimate Final Four for 2013. And spare me. Listen, you're not a television executive. So telling me about how the Giants versus the Cowboys and on one side and the biggest markets and that'll be... I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about as a fan, when you sit down on Super Sunday or on Title Game Sunday to watch those games, which ones would be the most fascinating matchups for you? Drop me a line. Again, hashtag DDFP on that. And we'll figure this thing out by next week. All right, black tie behind the glass. Good job getting that Alfred Morris, 46. And Alfred Morris, terrific fella. His delusions of grandeur or sweetness aside, a dynamite fella that I hope we get in 66.
We've had some calls. We've had some people asking for when are we going to take fan calls.
Yes. When are we? Let's do a fan show next week. A fan call show.
We should. Neil Dutton, fan producer Neil Dutton brought that up. And
I heard from Buenos Aires on Twitter yesterday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Let's also cross our fingers collectively for a Pittsburgh Penguins Chicago Blackhawks final. Here's the thing. I know Rank is a Kings fan. Before we actually start this thing, these Final Fours here in the Final Four in hockey, Rank. Understand this. I'm not rooting against the Kings because I don't think it's a real hockey town, which obviously it is not. It has a fan base, but it's not like the streets aren't buzzing when you walk certain streets. And it's not hockey; it's about any sport. If the Lakers are right now playing in the NBA, if they're in the finals, you would walk the streets and people would be like, "Oh, what do you think? You think Kobe's going to do it? Oh, you think he's going to get number 6?" That just isn't the same.
You know what? That's true because the big building in Los Angeles, it's called the Library Tower Building, and during the Lakers' finals run, they put up the purple and gold lights around the top, you know, and you'll see that in pictures and stuff. They didn't do that for I don't remember them
because it's too small a percentage. People, I'm not saying there aren't hockey fans in LA. Yes. I'm just saying that it's a very small percentage of people. Nobody really cares.
We rule in hockey and soccer.
But so for that reason, I would say Blackhawks and Original Six versus the Penguins. Probably, I don't know if I'd say most popular, but their most well-known player is Sidney Crosby. So I think that would be good. But here's why I want it. Either way, as long as the Penguins beat the Bruins, I think the NHL will be happy. The Bruins are not a bad consolation prize if they wind up in the finals. But of course, you want your biggest star on the biggest stage. And to me, the Kings play a snoozy brand of hockey. Every game is 2-1. Everything is about grinding it out. What the NHL needs, I've said many times, the 1995 New Jersey Devils Stanley Cup title is the most detrimental to its sport in our lives. That really set the sport back because in a copycat sport, all sports in this day and age are copycats. And the Devils did it through that clutch and grab nonsense. They ended high-flying days of Gretzky and Lemieux and the Rangers and all those teams and ushered in this boring brand of hockey. The Kings play too close a brand of that, and they have skilled players too, which is the real shame. The Hawks, conversely, they opened it up more. If you got the Penguins and the Hawks.
Don't you think that with playing the Penguins, and obviously they didn't get a chance to play this season, that would force the Kings as great as Quick is.
No, that style wins out. When you try to grind an offensive team like Pittsburgh, that your style's going to win. Then it's a matter of if the skill can win out and pot three goals over the course of 60 minutes to overcome that. But I think
that matchup would be compelling.
It would be, yeah, of course. Listen, if it's the defending champs against the Penguins, it's going to be juicy stuff. But the Hawks and Penguins would be extra good because you'd get some 6-4 games. And that would resonate. I don't know what ratings would be better. The second biggest market in the country versus Chicago, whatever. Third biggest market. But it would resonate for the next decade at least if you had the two best teams, Hawks and Penguins, by record, playing one another and the style that they play. Like I say, again, 6-4 type games, shootouts and so on. This would influence other teams to adopt that style to try and keep pace. So that's, if you're a hockey fan, what Damashek says you should root for. I just hope the Penguins survive so I don't have to hear Sporty Simmons and try to tell me about why the Bruins are bad.
As bad as
Milan Lucic is great.
Is bad.
I love him.
Don't you remember his column like from a number of years ago? He wrote, and he started off with an anecdote about how one of his friends missed hockey. And then him and all of his buddies laughed and said nobody will ever miss the NHL ever. And now all of a sudden he's a huge fan.
It is funny, but I will say, in his defense, I agree because I've gotten a ton of tweets since he came at me on Twitter, Simmons did last week with something about, just so you remember, this is how the Penguins won their cups in the 90s. And it was Ulf Samuelsson, the defenseman of the Penguins, going knee on knee with Cam Neely, essentially ending Cam Neely's career. And this is how the contention, this is the lament of Bruins fans everywhere. Of course, that's hokey. The thing with Simmons is he does actually know an era of hockey. He really does know those Bruins, and he really does know his old Adams Division foes and all that stuff pretty well. So I have to defend him on that count. But, yes, he didn't follow it for a 15-year period, of course.
I would, as bad as it would be for you to be gloating about a cup for the Penguins, I think it'd be worse to have Boston on top.
Hear me now, believe me later. If it's Penguins Kings and the Penguins beat the Kings, I wouldn't walk in here and be like, ha ha, in your face. I would never do that.
I would just do it on Twitter.
I don't do that. I never do. When my team plays a friend's team, I never get in there. In fact, I don't. People go, oh, we should get together and watch. Our two teams are playing one another. Let's get together. No.
I hate that.
No good comes of that.
Why
would I want to sit next to you and mute my enthusiasm because I don't want to hurt your feelings or be a jerk?
Your pal Fabiano does that all the time.
That's
when
hilarious.
When the Yankees come to town, he's always like, hey, let's go to. Why would I want to go? First of all, I don't want to be seen with a Yankees fan.
Yeah. I'll be a pariah to my peers, the people who I respect. Namely, the team that I root, fans of the team I root for. All right, enough about that.
Has this still been recorded, or did Black Tie turn this off about 20 minutes ago?
There's lots to do here, but call it a day.
Thank you, Black Tie and Don Draper. All right, let's get out of here then, Black Tie. Let's line up a good show for next week, a couple of good shows. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.